Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Playoffs? That's right. It's NFL Australia. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy here in Larry Armour Studios. That's right. I've returned. I love it. Back in the comfy zone of the studio. Got, you know, cutout deli behind me. It's all going on. I've got my memorial, what is it, Patriots, Rams Super Bowl ball just over there in the corner too. Love it. Anyway, on the other side of this here iPad, it is a bloke who finished the season 14-3 in possession of the one seed in the NFC. That's right. It's a pretty wild tattoo to have along the side of your schlong, 14-3 in possession of the one seed, but it's what he's done. It's sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. Here's your mate. It's Gaz.
Gaz. Mate, this is just a week of relief, isn't it? It's some good news for Hamlin, some good news after a few sketchy weeks for the Eagles. I'm just happy to be here, Jimmy. I'm just fucking happy.
Yeah.
You can hear the fan in the background. It's that time of the year where it's that fucking summer weather in Melbourne and you yell at me for having fans on. And I'm like, yeah, anyway, it's good time. Good time. We made it through the regular season. We did it. We didn't kill each other. We're still talking.
I'm a fan of yours, Gary. That's how it goes.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm also a fan of still having a dog. Talk about a weekend of relief. Jesus Christ. So not only does Damar Hamlin get through, you know, the worst sort of vibe you could ever get on a football field, but my dog ended up in hospital. But anyway, he's all good now. Yeah. Happy days.
Good stuff for Lazar.
As you've pointed out, that's it. Week 18, Dunskies.
Yeah.
Hope you've cashed all your futures from the start of the season. I know I did. The playoffs, they're set. They're here. Let's go. Weird week, though. Lots of stuff happened. We're going to wrap it all up, Gaz, as fast as we can, because I'm already bored about thinking about last week now, because I just don't care. I just worry.
Yeah.
About these next six games. That's what it's all
enjoying,
about.
I'm enjoying having an upbeat vibe about this episode again, mate. Last week was a bit of a...
It felt...
It was a bit somber. It was a bit weird for us.
Dour.
But...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit weird.
Yeah, but we're back.
But
Hamlin's back. We're back. Everything's back.
It also means I get to use
Unless
one of my...
Unless you're a Patriots fan, and then you're done.
Oh, right.
But... Got it
that took
there.
A while. It does set me up for my favourite phrase of the season... Super wild card weekend.
Super wild card weekend.
Gary, it's not
the imaginative fuckers at the NFL.
It's not the wild card weekend anymore.
No.
It's the super wild card weekend. Yeah. So we're going to set you up for that in this episode. And it is episode 68 of NFL Australia. Let's bloody well get into it. Let's go. I've been stripped. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's going to do it. He's going to fucking do it. Oh, he's just got to run the ball back on the first play. Naeem Hines, you bastard. That's right. It's James Clements, and you're listening to NFL Straight.
What the fuck? Did you just die on that fucking announcement?
I nearly died. I was doing half a voice of me being in bed watching that fucking Naeem Hines punt return. That was one of the more bizarre celebratory moments of an NFL season where the Bills have the news that Damar Hamlin, who received received CPR on the field.
Yeah.
They just run the ball back. It's a bit of a tribute. And then they proceed to shit pump my beloved Patriots. Just in honor of their comrade. But that was the big news out of the weekend, wasn't it? I mean, we've got the playoffs being set up. But Damar Hamlin, it's absolutely chaos that he's up and about, already out of hospital. Got put on the IR list, if you can believe that.
It's fucking... I think that's one of the amazing benefits of... it's very few when you follow an American sport of living on the other side of the world, but it felt like every morning we woke up, there was a piece of good news. It was like, ah, here we go. He's acknowledging, but he can't speak because he's still got tube down his gut. But yeah, then the next day it's like, oh, they've pulled it out, and he's, oh, look at it, the, before the Pats game, he's turned up on a surprise on a Zoom meeting, in front of all the teammates, and it like galvanized everyone and happy days. And then he's meeting with people like before the game, and like, fucking yeah. Now he's today, was it today he was released from hospital?
Yep. And he's tweeting.
Fuck yeah. He's tweeting, he's all over the place.
Unbelievable.
His response to the Hines fucking touchdown. Oh my fucking God.
Oh my fucking God. It was basically the exact same as my fucking response at 5 AM on Sunday morning. Just going, God damn it. Breaking my heart to mum. But it was basically the best possible news, right, that you could ever sort of hope for coming out of last week. Yeah. You're like, yeah, sweet. Our man survived. Yeah. Off he goes, feeling good. Hopefully on his way to recovery.
And how good was the the ESPN, they turned all of the fucking logos upside down on all their microphones. So fucking simple. But what a genius move. All of the fucking E on the ESPN microphones, they just fucking turned them all upside down for a three.
It was a great move by like the marketing assistant who's very clearly spent their entire life writing boobs on a calculator. They just went, oh, you know what an E is upside down? It's a three. How do you know that, Jeremy?
Don't ask. Don't ask.
You know, I've got this calculator. You fucking perv. Anyway, that was nice. Elsewhere, Gaz, random thoughts. Mm. We have one old-ass quarterback who's in the playoffs. We have another one who is not, as Aaron Rodgers fell short in the last game of the regular season. Cost me a bunch of money in the process. Mm. My preseason futures on, what was that, the 1-2 finishing in the NFC North, Vikings, Packers, and the exact order of that NFC North, which was Vikings, Packers.
You were pretty pumped on that. Was your favorite. Lions, like, if you had nailed that exact fucking...
I felt pretty good about that. And Lions went and spoiled the party, didn't they? They just had to. Even with nothing to play for after the Seahawks won earlier in the day to give themselves a chance.
I think the Seahawks spoiled the fun because the fucking Lions being in there, over Seahawks are going to get their ass fucking handed to them. They took it to the nth degree. We'll go into it in a bit. But it was, they just snuck over the line. The Lions would have been so much more fun in this playoff series. But I'm sure we'll touch on that.
The Jags. They won the NFC South by beating the Titans. Your boy, Dougie P.
Yeah, they
completes
did.
The turnaround from, I guess we can now basically assume that Urban Meyer was the worst coach in NFL history.
Yeah.
Because Dougie P just walked in there and went, you guys aren't that shit. Let's make the playoffs. Off they go.
See ya.
Titans, wow. That was a season from hell. The Dolphins lost five straight. Then they just snuck past the Jets, and they're somehow in the playoffs with their third-string quarterback, guys.
Also, fucking gross.
That is...
That game. There was some games this week that I think we will skip over very quickly. This could be the shortest episode in all time because there were some fucking horrendous games.
Yep. Red Zone was... it was weird. So Red Zone had the sort of dual sign-offs this week. As the contract's being taken over from DirecTV, et cetera, to YouTube, or Google, as it were. And it was weird because not a giant amount was happening. There was like three games that actually mattered.
I don't know, just fizzled out. And it was just kind of like, bloop, bloop,
bloop. Yeah. Anyway. Pats are out. Steelers are out. And the NFC, who missed out in the end? It was...
In the NFC.
In the NFC, obviously Green Bay missed out and the Lions missed out of the...
Yeah, correct.
So six teams basically playing for two spots.
Yep.
So there's your four all going home.
Yep.
Pretty weird one. Tua, no word on him yet, really, but you can't imagine that he's going to play with three concussions within about, 2 months? 2.5 months?
Yeah, if he want, like, he was on the sidelines pretty pumped about getting in there, but even like,
you can't,
I mean,
do it.
Teddy gives them, but Teddy's
got a busted finger something? And won't play either, right? Like, they're on their third string.
I reckon now, like, it's Teddy, right? He's going to try and get himself out there for a playoff game, but still, either way.
Just put Fitzmagic in. Fuck it. Just get him in.
Just sign him off the street. But either way, like,
he's not on the street. He's on the fucking broadcast. He's sitting there during half the games doing Amazon. Like, he's fucking ready to go.
Yeah. Either way, like, I mean, it's San Fran's just going to fucking shit pump whoever the fuck is in there, right?
Yep.
They literally look like if you run down the matchup, they are just, yeah, there's just no one that that presents well against, like, anywhere on this Bills, like, there is no position that the Dolphins would be on top of the Bills right now, except for wide receiver, and they don't have anyone to deliver
to
the
get
ball.
Them the ball, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, anyway.
So, basically, what sort of ends up, sort of, one is in the AFC, you got KC, two, Buffalo, three, the Bengals, four, the Jags with the NFC South, the AFC South win. Five, the Chargers and my beloved Juzzy Herbs. After Baltimore lost, the Chargers didn't need to do anything. And, of course, Mike Williams gets hurt. Dolphins are the seven. In the NFC, the Eagles are the one, the Niners the two, the threes the Vikings. One of the least convincing three seeds you'll see. Four, also one of the least convincing four seeds you'll ever see, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Five, the Dallas Cowboys. Six, the Giants. And seven, the Seahawks. It's a weird array, and I feel like it's pretty unbalanced. We're going to get to that in the previews, but geez. Now, the best part probably about this week, really, aside from Aaron Rodgers getting into the neck at the very end of it, has got to have been the Houston Texans winning themselves out of the number one draft pick. It was absolute chaos, guys. They convert a 4th-and-20 and a 2-point conversion as the ultimate fuck you, I quit, you can't fire me, motherfucker, from Lovie Smith you could ever imagine. Knocking themselves out of the number one draft pick. The Colts just with absolute no recourse down the stretch. It was very much the most Texan-y thing the Texans have ever Texans'd, I reckon. And the Chicago Bears are now on the clock with a one pick in this draft.
Now, I was going to message, I was going to use this time to gloat myself to say, I fucking picked it last week that Houston were going to cock this up and do it. But I didn't need to do it because someone messaged, I think it was Jez messaged me and went, holy fuck, you picked that. That they were going to fucking do it. And I think I messaged you at the time going, on top of that, Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he went MIA, they wouldn't release him. First, he didn't want to get traded, then they wouldn't release him or they wouldn't trade him. So he fucking walked out of the building and he came back in on the last game, put up 100 yards, toe-tapping on the sidelines, caught fucking everything and went, fuck you, mic drop. Like, love that it. Is just out of control, right? And now it is just completely set up for Chicago because not only they got so much fucking money in the salary cap next year, but they don't need a quarterback. So, you know, the Colts or someone are going to overpay to jump Texas, Houston, the Texans now, and they're going to end up with a fucking raft of picks, a shit ton of money, and going to build around Jazzy Field. So Bear fans get fucking pumped for next offseason.
What a tank, though. What a tank. A 10-game losing streak. First time they've picked number one in the draft since 1947.
Yeah, right.
Just unreal. Like, after Jazzy Fields,
and got the most important position sewn up,
exactly.
Right?
So they can command a king's ransom, drop down a couple of spots if they want, rebuild up some of the things. They went and spent their second round of this year, which is obviously the 33rd pick.
Second.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, because of the sacrifice Dolphins pick, right?
Yep. And 32nd pick.
Wasn't a great move in hindsight.
Pittsburgh for Chase Claypool, who's done absolutely sweet dick all. So,
yeah.
Anyway, the Chicago Bears.
Good news to be, but like that is the rebuild to be part of, right? Because if you want to, there's no point in having a bunch of draft picks and a bunch of money if you don't have like that draw card. And Juzzy Fields has shown that, mate, if you want a free agency, like get on the bandwagon, like now's the right time because, you know, coming into that third year and the Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, that kind of, who was the third? Tua, So Randy getting him a weapon in year three has allowed some of these quarterbacks to make that jump.
And don't listen to anybody who's like going to go out there and galaxy brain themselves. Go, you know what the Bears should do? They should trade Justin Fields as well and use the number one pick on a quarterback themselves, guys, and reset their clock a bit.
Because that,
Because that always works. Definitely, like we've never seen Wilson, anyone at the top of the draft bust in the last.
Kyler forever. After Josh Rosen,
Sam Darnold at number two, Baker. Like, yep. I don't know what to tell you, guys.
Yep,
we at least know like Justin Fields is a known, and we know that he's pretty bloody good. So just go with the guy that you already kind of know is pretty bloody good and build around him.
Yeah, exactly.
And coaches are getting in the neck, left, right, and center. You got Cliff, you got Lovey. So Cliff Kingsbury and the GM there in Arizona are done. I love the GM one. It's like, it's also he's resigned. He's got some personal stuff. It's like, is he the one that was like basically hiring dudes who looked like him to take the fall for some weird shit that he was doing in Mexico City? We will never know. Lovey Smith. As mentioned, gave it the old absolute fuck you, I quit on the way out in Houston. And most of the Titans stuff now gone as well.
Yeah. Everyone except Vrabel. There's a whole bunch of moves, right, where you just like, Robert Saleh's probably going to do the same thing with his offensive staff at some point where you're like, well, it's not going to be me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to sacrifice some fucking lamb here. Look, no one's feeling... I haven't seen any emotion of anyone feeling sorry for Cliff because that photo resurfaced of him. Remember when they were doing the draft at home?
Yeah, the house.
Because everyone's on lockdown in that fucking house. And then it cuts to his smoke show girlfriend. And then how much money he got from his college career. And you know what? He's going to walk straight into another job.
Yeah.
Remember when as part of his resume, it was his friends with Sean McVay? Like... There was that stage a few, like 5 or 6 years
remember
ago where
when
just
he signed
him once.
Remember his contract extension to 2027?
Less
that he
than
12. In April?
March. Yeah. There you go. Less than 12 months old. That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, I think
that he's the guy. But if you see the record, like they published a record today of first versus second half of the season, and every year, like started out hot, fell off a cliff.
Yep.
No pun intended. Well, actually, fuck it. Pun intended. Lovey, you know, that's actually... look, I'm not necessarily disappointed in that because I feel like there's going to be a few good assistant coaches out in the field going to be snapped up this year. And having guys like Vic Fangio, Lovey Smith, those guys who are really good coordinators and tried to... negotiate their way around shitty teams and not worked out. Could end up with some interesting moves in this offseason. But it feels like we didn't have... I don't know about what the timetable was last year, but it felt like there was... like, was it 10 or 11 coaches got fucked last year? And it feels like Black Monday was a bit of a whimper.
Yeah.
Like...
It's almost because, though, I feel like a couple of sketchy ones... we're probably going to get given an extra year there, like for Arthur Smith in Atlanta, that sort of stuff. Like ones where you're like, just don't know yet. And I don't know, like even the Bears with Matt Eberflus, like talk about like a year where you're like, nah, it doesn't really matter. Like we've already seen Nathaniel Hackett cop it as well. So, you know, a couple ones like that.
There's also a couple of ones like I Riverboat Ron, we talked about it last week, but Dan Snyder wasn't at the last game. And we know the team's for sale. So are you going to sell half a team, which is in a full rebuild with no coach? Or are you at least going to say, you know what? We've got an experienced coach here.
Who just went
promising.
8-1 and beat the Dallas Cowboys. Like, I'm
yeah, exactly. Exactly. So speaking of which, the closest he's finished to a winning season. So anyway,
we should get into the wraps from the week because it sets up the bloody playoffs. That's what we're here for.
Does.
So, if you cast your mind back to Sunday, the Chiefs, for a minute there, looked a little bit dubious against the Raiders, and then they did not.
They did not.
And they kicked the shit out of them. So, this was already such a shit pumping. What was it, like 24-3 at the half?
Yeah.
I think this is the day. I took the squid. I got the page for the paper done. I'm like, right, we're going to the beach. Just off we went in the morning, laughing. And then the Jags beat the Titans in pretty, like, it wasn't wildly convincing.
We've got to mention a couple of things about this game. First of all, Patrick Mahomes just pretty much sealed up the MVP.
100%.
And then there was the ring around the rosy play.
The ring around the rosy play. What a great play.
And where they were just like fucking with them. And Andy Reid was
sort of
loving the shit out of that.
Shit ref calls or throws a flag on that play. Like, you are the biggest piece of shit ref.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw him a flag. Just shut
up. But luckily, Tony got in the next play, and every Giants fan in, like, Tony's made a couple of plays in the last couple of weeks where he just put the brakes on and juked everyone out of their shoes, and Giants fans must be just like cringing in the corner going, ah, that's what we spent a number one, first round draft pick on. Anyway, so that was all that to come out of that, and there's a lot of work to do in the Raiders. So
There really is. Josh McDaniels sucked in Vegas. He and Tom Brady having lots of fun next year. Jags and Titans. Jags win it 20-16. Took a bit down the stretch, but they did it. And the Titans just did not have the horses in the end.
Points. Came down to a cut. The turnovers.
Turnovers and 3 points in the second half. It's just like, the defense.
Dobbs has done all right in a couple of weeks. Like, for someone who's a third string thrown in there with fuck all, you know, his first bit of playing time has shown a bit of chutzpah. Having Deza Henry back was obviously massively important. He didn't break anything. He still got 100 yards, but nothing was like hugely challenging. It was the defense of the Jags that stepped up. Trayvon Walker probably had one of his best fucking games.
But basically, the better team won. So I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because the Titans were shit. And have been shit for the entire second half of the season. Losing, how many was that straight? It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight. Brutal.
Yeah, a lot of guys on IR, but I think the biggest concern is Tannehill's on his way out and Willis has shown absolutely fucking zero to say that he was worth that draft pick or worth building around. So some decisions to be made, which is why they sacked half their staff.
Yep. All right, let's fly through some ones that didn't really mean anything. The Falcons kicked the shit out of the Buccaneers in a completely dumb and meaningless move by the Atlanta Falcons to
Brady had his first losing season and was fucking pissed when he was dragged because he knew that meant that he was going to have a losing season.
Snapping shit again. 8-9, the Bucs finished, but, you know, in the playoffs. You can't argue with
that. That's it. That's all it
Falcons knows. Finished 7-10, 13-17. Good on you, Ritter. Happy days.
Yeah, threw his first two passing touchdowns in the NFL.
Panthers, Saints, 10-7. Panthers win.
This was fucking gross.
Nope. Just do not care.
The best thing that happened out of this game was Eddie Pinheiro kicking a field goal to stop us having to watch overtime.
Love it. Vikings beat the Bears 29-13. Mattinson was pretty bloody good in that one. But again, the Bears were like, we don't want to win this game.
We do not give
a
fuck.
We will see you later. And the Vikings like, thank you.
I made a post about fucking Kirk Cousins going off his head, being really pumped about going, you know, he getting dragged at halftime when they got a massive lead. And dude, they were like fucking negative 19 point differential before this game. So, anyway, good times.
Yep.
Yep.
Bengals 27, Ravens 16. This didn't really matter in the wash. Bengals locked themselves into the 3 seed. Ravens all shit out of luck anyway. So
they did not even play but they played the backup to the backup quarterback, right? Yep. They played a guy who never fucking played, Anthony Brown, and fucking nothing. And Shaw.
Exactly.
Okay. This game meant fucking nothing. Like, you can't ever... I was listening to a couple of podcasts. Like, oh, I got to worry about that second half of the Bengals. They did nothing.
No.
I'm like, they didn't fucking have to.
No, they didn't.
Like, what did you want from them?
This is it. Like, they play again next week, and it's just like, yeah, we're just not going to do anything now. I'm just saying.
Probably the most interesting thing that happened in this game was Mixon getting into the end zone. It was a Mixon, right? Pulled the coin out of his out of his sock and did the celebration.
Coin flip. Coin flip.
Coin flip, because we don't have to worry about that shit anymore.
Nice.
So there we go.
Bills kill the Patriots. Thank God. Look, requiem for this Patriots season, Gaz, real quick. Thank fuck it's over. That was, it's just a horror
show.
That
was the exact text message you sent me, Jimmy.
So sloppy all year. Like, I was explaining to a buddy of mine today, It was literally one of the worst Patriots seasons just to watch, because I don't think I've ever watched a team so badly coached as this New England Patriots team. And, I mean, that goes for fucking dummy in charge of the offense and Mac in charge of the offense. But special teams, shit like that, where you're just like, why are they giving up? Like, basically, this, what cost them this game were two special teams, two touchdowns against special teams. And you're just like, this is, fuck, this is a team that's going to be playing on pure emotion. If you just literally go out there and do what the Patriots do best, which is execute, you're probably going to win the game, because this team will probably end up getting so emotional that they end up beating themselves.
Yeah.
Pats gave them a fucking inch and they took a mile. Simple as that. And well, that's not the Patriots that you're sort of used to.
It was analysis I was looking at today. Something like Mac started like 17 of 17 or something ridiculous like that before he fell off a cliff. So it's not like...
Look, Mac wasn't bad, right? But that's the thing. Yeah. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't good. Like, he was fine. Like, he's just fine. He's like, I want to see something this
Matt
year.
Matt fucking Patricia. He is what the fuck? He's how have you survived? What photos has he got of Bill and, of, I don't know, Robert Kraft and...
Probably some very
sort of
gross
masseuse
ones.
Or like, fuck, mate. I don't know. He's got to go, right? But, well, Bill's already said he's coming back, right? He's already said he's coming back. And the wins record is now within sight, right?
I think, I got a feeling Bob Kraft might, well, Jonathan Kraft might be the hatchet man there for Bob and go, Bill, we need to have a chat.
But the defense is not your problem, right?
We need to have
and
a chat.
He's a defensive coach.
About Matt.
And yeah, like, exactly. I think, look, I think it's, been, it's been known for weeks.
About Matt.
And the pressure's been coming. And, yeah.
But Belichick stays. They rejigger the coaching thing, and hopefully next year's good. Anyway, fuck that. Do not care anymore. Thank God it's done. Texans beat the Colts. As mentioned, hilarious fashion. Davis Mills wasn't bad. In fact, he was too good. They sat him. Tim Boyle came in, instantly threw two interceptions, and everyone's like, aha, there's the tank. That's what we're after. And they still went on to winners.
Yep.
Absolutely fucking hilarious. The Colts can't even sort of win themselves out of but like, this was just a great tank job by the Colts, really, in the end. Dolphins.
106 yards by
Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, amazing.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Great bounce back. Just imagine if he was on a team with...
He had 700... So 700 yards this entire season, and 100 of them came today. Oh, hilarious.
Dolphins beat the Jets and make the playoffs. 11-8. 11-6, sorry.
Also, fucking gross.
Horrible game. Horrible. I mean, it was just bad. Like, it was just bad football all around, because... Even with the Jets, you're like, well, we know that they've got nothing to play for beyond fucking up the Dolphins' playoff chances. Yeah. But if they fuck up the Dolphins' playoff chances, they might end up helping the Pats. Who knows? But Joe Flacco, like, in just at any point of that game, do you think he actually wanted to be out there, Gaz? Like, he's just like, nah. I have a boat. I want to be on that now. I
he
don't
want to
be here.
He got hit something like, he got hit 10 times. Ugh. Didn't get sacked. But he got hit 10 times, and he would have just been, and some of those were like, not quite untouched, but like, they were quite significant, right? Yeah. He just got the ball off. So he's a wily veteran enough to get the ball away so it's not a sack, but fucking hell, mate. He would just be like, yeah, I'm cooked. If he doesn't retire, if him and Matty Ryan don't retire, there's like, something fucking wrong.
Joe, you've won a Super Bowl. No one cares, mate. You can go.
You were elite. You were once considered elite.
Elite.
Remember?
Is he elite?
He was.
Reach for the Skylar Thompson. Don't think he's exactly it. QBR, quarterback rating of 14.8 in that game. Thank you for coming, Reach for the Skylar. What else? We had the Steelers beat the Browns in convincing fashion, give themselves a chance, but more importantly, Gaz, what do they do?
Positive result for Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin does not have losing seasons. Simple as that. And I had the Steelers. So actually, my best bets for this week were not your beloved Eagles. I think I mentioned that. There was the Vikings against the very obviously tanking Bears. That one won pretty handily. It was the Steelers over the Browns. And I believe the Niners over the Cardinals. So when there's a really bad team with absolutely zero to play for and they're playing a good team, just put your money on the good team sometimes. Paid off. But like the Steelers have been fucking awesome in the second half. And you have that moment going, would they actually be a legit contender if TJ Watt doesn't get hurt earlier in the season? Or is it just like this was the lump? These were the lumps that Kenny Pickett had to take, and now next year they're sort of set up to be a bit of a fucking pretty dangerous smoky.
They've got the nucleus, right? You got Pickett, Najee, Pickens, Deontay Johnson.
Pickens was awesome in this game. Well, his stats aren't going to blow you away, but he had three receptions and 72 fucking yards. It was unreal. Yeah, Steelers but awesome. Sean,
on the flip side of that, Browns. You gotta wonder where you go because that Browns defense they had an identity at one point, besides being alleged rapist, which came through acquisition, Jimmy. That wasn't an established. They were a very strong defensive team that passed until they got a lead and then they drove the run, right? With the chunt. But that just, they've completely lost that. When Deshaun Watson came in, Chubb went from the number one running back in the league statistically this season to kind of falling off a little bit of a cliff. And that defense has been terrible.
Yep.
And look at what, what's his face? Oh my God. I can't believe I've just gone blank on
Amari Cooper. Anybody?
Defensive end.
Miles Garrett?
No, the one who's just walked out on the team. This is a great story, Gary.
nailed it.
Javanius Clowney.
Ah, Clowney. Yeah.
Clowney. He's just come was back shit-talking and said, there is 95% that I am not coming back.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he had three sacks or some shit.
Yep.
There's people are walking out. They just don't want to be around that team. And the vibes are just saying, not good.
Same old Browns. All right. Moving on. Broncos beat the Chargers 31-28 after the Chargers realized, oh, wait, we don't have to win. Fuck it. Pack her up, boys. They still kind of gave it a bit of a shake because they're kind of fun. And then Mike Williams got hurt. And
This is the thing, Jimmy. There was a definite fucking element of fence sitting here that is kind of disturbing, right? You either go out and you're like, all right, we're going to go hard into the playoffs. And the one that's always been referenced this week is Tom Coughlin just went out years ago when the Giants had to play the Patriots in the last round and went, fuck it, we're going to go all out, even with nothing to play for. Had a strong showing. So when you guys met them in the Super Bowl, they were like, fuck, we can take these guys. These guys aren't undefeatable. So you either go as the Chargers and you go, we're going to fucking win this game. Or you go, all right, we're going to get them to a start and then we're going to pull them at halftime. They left them until they were in the fourth quarter, Jimmy, and then they pulled them and then lost against a shitty, Rusty somehow, since Hackett's gone, has actually shown a bit of fucking vibe. But, you don't have it. You're not somewhat pregnant, Jimmy. You're either fucking all in or you just, all right, we're going to give this game away because we don't give a shit. The Staley argument in the last couple of days about saying, oh, nah, but we've only got 53 men on the roster, so we have to play some starters because we just don't have enough people and everyone in the league is going through that. It's just fucking bullshit, mate. And they're lucky. It wasn't just Mike Williams. Joey Bosa went down as well. Right? So it looks like they've both escaped serious injury, but we've seen what the Chargers were without Williams and without Allen this year. They were fucking rubbish.
Yep.
So, mate,
just you can't risk that shit. Like, we've seen the Chargers be all banged up and just fucky all season, and you start to get a bit of health, what do? Risk it, you dumb fuck.
Yeah, we've been saying it for two fucking years.
Ugh,
Jazzy Herbs and the Chargers are good in spite of Staley, not because of him.
Yep.
Right? Fucking hell.
Anyway, Niners, they shit pumped the Cardinals and JJ Watt's final game, 38-13. David Blough, you gun. No, not really. That was pretty tough. I'll tell you what, Brock Purdy, that dude is a fucking weapon. Seahawks beat...
How was AJ fucking AJ two Brown. Sacks in his... Was it two sacks in the first half of his final game? And they've asked him about it. And he goes, no, I wanted to go out playing good ball, and I'm playing good ball, and I'm going out.
Liked it.
Fuck.
Seahawks beat the Rams in overtime. Ugh.
We referenced this. Fucking gross.
Gross game again. Rams were kind of at least frisky, but this Seahawks team that could barely get past this Rams team, they're going to get... Yep. Fucking run over this week. Eagles.
Even against the Niners, too. Like, the Niners are just going to fucking steamroll them.
Eagles, Giants, 22-16. Messaging you during this game. It's like, uh-oh, this one, I did not bet this game because of the shitty backdoor cover by the Giants.
Yeah.
Because the line was like around 10.5 or something.
It was 13.5. It's funny. We're leading by 10, and they got down in within the red zone. And I'm like, just hold them to a field goal. Hold them to a field goal. Hold them to a field goal. And then kicked a field goal, and it was 13 points. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to get this pick over Jimmy by half a point. And I actually bet on the Giants because I didn't think we'd cover. And then the Giants went down and scored. And I was like, wait, it was only 6 points. Now I wish it wasn't a field goal.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, we did just enough. Jalen Hurts was very much playing hurt. And it was afterwards, the questions were, how close and how hurt were you? Were you at 65, 70%? And all he responded with was, enough to win. So, escaped with the number one seed. Having CJ GJ back was good. Now we get 2 weeks off to hopefully get Lane Johnson and maybe a little bit more health back. But, look, the Giants didn't play anyone. So, there's really, apart from... us just getting the W in any way, shape, or form, there is absolutely nothing to take out of this game.
Yep. Speaking of which, Commanders beat the Cowboys 26-6. It felt like the Cowboys
A lot to take out of this game, Jimmy.
It feels like the Cowboys weren't trying. Like, this is the weirdest part, wasn't it? Like, it felt very much like they're just trying to, like, fox the Commanders and, like, not do anything, but everyone's like, I don't know. You were still playing your guys and you got your ass handed to you, so.
Exactly. Fucking Dak was at like, I think it was like 5 of 15 for 97 yards at one point. And threw a pass, like just targeting Noah Brown for a ridiculous number of. Fuck you, CeeDee Lamb. I'll put a touchdown for you. But apart from that, was just ignoring everyone else in the field. Almost threw a pick on one play. It got dropped by the defender, and he said, oh, I feel sorry for you. I think it was Fuller. Oh, no, take the second one and take it back for 6. Like, you deserve one. Like, I mean, that's not exactly how you want to be running in. I mean, they're taking on Tom Brady. It is away, but I don't know. The Cowboys definitely a better team on paper, but, mate, that's not the form that you want to take into the playoffs, right?
Like a road playoff game. It's the exact opposite of what you want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Last one. Lions beat the Packers 2016. Hilarious vibes.
Fuck yes.
Go.
Fuck yes.
Detroit. Go.
Yeah.
Like if I hadn't have had so money good. Riding on this, it would have just delighted me no end. And to be honest, it kind of just delighted me no end anyway.
Yeah.
To see Jared Goff out-duel Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau Field, pretty incredible to knock them out of the playoffs, and it's the first time I think LeFleur has not made the playoffs with his Packers team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's right. For like 4 years straight, they've made it at least. There might have been 1 year where he didn't, but either way. 8 and 9, they were like, no, we're good. We've just ripped off like a month's worth of wins. And it's like, yeah, but who have you beaten? Yeah, and has Aaron Rodgers thrown for multiple touchdowns in those games? And the answer was no. Nope. So... No. Lions. Just
it was just like
huge
big balls on the line, like 4th and 1. They kick the field goal, give Aaron Rodgers some time to go down and score. Nah. Jared Goff. Just a, 3-4 yard pass, the tight end down the guts. Like, nah, let's just end this game and go the fuck home.
And you had, was it their rookie wide receiver? absolutely crushing it there. Like, Jameson Williams had, like, one moment where it's like, aha, he's got it, and it got called back. And I'm like, ah, he had such a good moment, but nope. Bit shit. Tough scene there for Detroit. I'm like, I'm all here for, like, all Jameson Williams content all the time. And
Jamal Williams, though, did you see his, first of all, his introduction at the beginning of the game, the player introduction that's going a bit viral because, like, what the fuck is he talking about? Then his post-game interview where he's in tears talking about his grandfather, father, and then launches into, don't ever fucking doubt us, we're the Detroit Lions, and then goes back into crying. It's fucking, it's just amazing. Like, this guy's a fucking genius.
It just felt, it felt like this game was just bad, though, by the Pack, right? Like, Jones and Dylan, it didn't feel like they could ever really quite do enough. Lazard had about, it felt like eight misses, but he only dropped like two pretty easy ones. And I don't know, like, just Aaron Rodgers just looks old. Simple as that.
Yeah.
All right. Should we just fucking move on now? Yeah, I think we should. That's it. The regular season done. Super wild card round, guys. So we're going to start our Sunday. Seattle Seahawks at San Francisco 49ers, followed by the Chargers at Jacksonville, which is probably the tightest matchup of the weekend.
I would, like, Dallas and Tampa.
Dallas, Tampa,
close,
I feel like Chargers, Jacksonville might have a tighter line.
I think they're for different reasons, though. I feel like the Chargers, Jacksonville one is going to be a fucking tight because it's going to be good.
I also love, love, love both these two games as worth of uniform matchups because Seahawks, Niners, you got the weird, fucky Seattle Seahawks things against whatever the Niners want to roll out, the classic, beautiful ones that they have. And then the Chargers, Jags, it could be whatever combo of colors, and it's going to be a a fucking rainbow delight, I think, of that Chargers Jag. It could be blue, green,
blue,
whatever, yellow, fucking who knows. It's going to be awesome. And then the next day you've got Miami-Buffalo, which is just gross. Just feels bad. I just feel bad for Miami already. But again, like, still, I just like that we've got some fun colored uniforms in this one. Giants-Minnesota. So Giants on the road in Minnesota. I feel like we've seen this one before. And the Vikings, what, they finished up with a plus 1 point differential for the season?
No, I don't think they did. I think
More than that.
Did they? Hang on. I'll have to go check it out because I don't think they got, because they weren't the 20 points in the end, right?
Right.
They were, I think they
minus
finished
three.
In the neg.
Minus three after 13 and four and they're minus three. What a world.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
It's one of those ones you go, Daboll might just have like a little bit of something here and they might just pull off a bit of a shocker. Like, just,
oh, look, I think it definitely feels out of this weekend, the two, what would be considered upsets? I don't know. Like, I think Dallas is going to start a 2 or 3 point. I haven't even looked at the tips for the lines for next week.
Well, we don't actually have. We're going to do the lines live, guys. That's how we're going to do it this week.
Oh, right. Because Dallas looks like, I would consider them slight favorites away in Tampa.
Yeah, definitely. They got to be. That'd be like 2.5 or 3.5 favorites, I reckon.
And Minnesota's got to be favorite over Giants, but it's going to be only a couple of points. And I feel like the Giants could, if the way that Danny Dimes and that run game has been playing in the last couple of weeks and that defense, they could definitely take out Minnesota.
And with that very sketchy Minnesota defense, 100%.
Yeah, 100%, right?
Ravens-Bengals rematch. No love lost here in the AFC North. No shit fucking Sherlock. But Bengals should just kill him.
I would not put a fucking cent of money on this.
No
chance.
Because
I feel like they are, Harbaugh's going to keep whatever the fucking plan is with Lamar until like the 11th hour.
Yep, 16-13 Bengals. And then finally Cowboys at Tampa Bay. After that season, the Cowboys have to go on the road in the first week of the playoffs. Pretty funny. Pretty weird, pretty gross. All right, some really quick some more macro ones for you guys. Is that it for, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay?
Yeah, look, I feel like,
no, it doesn't matter because it always has to be about him, doesn't it? Seriously, we had this entire fucking awesome finish to the season by the Detroit Football Lions, who was sitting there going, look at this, we came out of nowhere, we fucking beat Green Bay, and all Collinsworth and Mike Tirico are doing a jacking off over fucking Aaron Rodgers. The quarterback who was losing, Gaz, going, oh, it could be the last time we see him on the frozen. I'm just coming all over the fucking desk. It's like, yo, the Detroit Lions have just gone into Green Bay and beaten him. I don't think it matters if he's back here next year because I don't think he's very good anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Was it Jameson Williams who went up to him and asked for his jersey? Yeah, I might keep this one.
Keep this one.
It might be the last one. But the way he walked out, like, they did, I know they had completely analyzed this. I mean, they did it for the Eagles when Ertz, Kelsey, and Wentz sat on the bench for fucking half an hour after the last game of the season, missing the playoffs. But fucking Randall Cobb, right? Like, he had nothing left. He's walked out arm in arm with fucking Aaron Rodgers before the game. They had the emotional shit before the game. And Aaron, like, the interview, the presser stuff around Aaron was, oh, could you really walk away from that much money? And he's like, I've got now generational wealth, right?
Do you understand how rich I am already?
I know, right? He goes, yeah, I could. And he goes, I'm very appreciative, but I could definitely fucking walk away from this shit. And it's not like he's not going to, like, he will go play somewhere else, right? Yeah. He could definitely get, it's just more about the, I don't have to put up 35,000 yards and fucking 45 touchdowns this each year if I've got a decent defense and run game around me.
35,000 yards, fuck.
35,000
yards. Is Derek Carr the most Indianapolis Colt who ever Indianapolis Colted before he Indianapolis Colted? Yeah, nah.
Well, it depends on where those draft picks go, right? Yep. Like, the draft picks are, now that it's not an automatic lay down Mazaire that fucking the Texans going to get one and go QB, and the person who does have number one doesn't want a QB, who the fuck knows?
Yep.
There's already rumors of the Raiders going after Jimmy G and getting Garoppolo back with McDaniels. But yeah, I don't know, man. Carr was it wasn't so long ago that there was is he MVP caliber? And then all of a sudden he's,
oh my God, it's Tom Brady's music. There we go.
He's this fucking scapegoat, right?
Yep.
It's fucking weird.
Let's get Brady in there. Does Lamar play this week, Gaz? What do you reckon? Gut feeling.
Know,
yeah,
not,
nah.
Him not going to IR and not allowing my fantasy team to move him to IR completely fucked my season. So, look, I want the playoff games to be decent, right? So, this Ravens team making it all this way and then having to rely on either Huntley or fucking Anthony Brown to face that Bengals in playoff mode, it'll be a massive fucking anticlimax.
I also,
that defense has been doing an amicable job, bro.
I'd also say fuck it. Like, I don't like it when a QB comes back from 4 or 5 weeks off and is like, all right, now I'm ready for the playoffs. Like, nah, you're not.
Yeah.
You're going to get killed. And
like 15 or 16 live practices or something he's missed. But the other thing is, obviously there's more passion from a player point of view going, oh, yeah, I want to get back to the playoffs. But this is the guy going into his contract year. Like, is like, do I go out and risk getting injured if I'm not fully right? But also, if I put up a stinker, is that going to affect my contract? Or does not playing affect my contract?
Or should I just go be the Atlanta Falcons or New Orleans Saints quarterback next year and not fucking care? From Matty O, the Bills. Are they the undoubted sentimental favorite? Yeah, nah. Of course they are. I can't even hate him. They kicked the shit out of my beloved team this week, and I'm like, fuck that. Do not care. Let's go, Bills.
I kind of was all like that to a bunch of people anyway before all this went down, right?
Yeah, true. I'm kind of on board. You know me. I love my Josh Allen. Love my Jazzy Herbs.
Yeah,
let's go. Good bloke of the week. Bloke you want to buy a beer? Obviously, DeMar Hamlin. The recovery, as you mentioned, you said it very, very nicely, Gaz, where we got to wake up sort of every day to like a new little tidbit of like good news. And it was just kind of fucking nice. Lovie Smith, good bloke of the week. I just fucking have to salute that. Just the fucking burn it down on your way out. Just that is such a great vibe. Buy that man a beer, if only because I don't want to be on the other side of Lovie Smith if I don't buy him a beer because he might just sock me one. Like, he just looks like he is the most, he's like the epitome of old man strength. Like, you just look at Lovie Smith and go, I reckon he
that
could beat
beard,
any.
Mate, that beard, beard is like, yeah.
He could beat anybody. Anybody on his roster in an arm wrestle, I 100% guarantee you. Yeah. You've got a couple of good ones?
Yeah, Dan Campbell. Oh. Right? Come on.
We're biting
so,
kneecaps.
No, we took the piss out of him last year with the fucking kneecaps thing. And then it was like when they were in their like downward phase, like the slow around the NFL, I think, was doing it with these press conferences that would play sad music under it. And it was like fucking... Yeah, Harvard, this guy wears his fucking heart on his sleeve. But they knew before this game that they weren't making it. And it was the in-game interview, you know, that fucking quarter time where they go over and ask her.
It was
they
awesome.
Asked him about it and he goes, yeah, we just don't want them to go, right? They're
100%,
a fucking
we don't
rival.
Want them to go. It's like,
we don't
yes.
want them to go. Yeah.
What motivation. And, I love it.
Exactly. And the other one for me is Nyheim Hines, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious. He was traded mid-season. From the Colts to the Bills, comes on, trying to find his place, does that, and then it gets announced over the broadcast that that Josh Allen brought up with tears in his fucking eyes, could barely get it out during his press conference, that for number three, it was 3 years and 3 months since the Bills had had a kick return touchdown. So, like, it was just meant to happen. And then... Jimmy, did we mention that there was a second one as well? That there was that second, just to make sure that it wasn't a fluke, there was a second kick return touchdown. Yeah. But anyway, like that, what a way to start the game. Like, you know, there was that whole, I turned it over just to see the emotional start to the game and all that sort of stuff. And then
this is why old mate,
this
is the shit why old mate thinks I'm a lunatic. So I'm just like, fucking tackle him, just screaming that at like... You know, 6:30 in the morning on my iPad with my headphones in. She's like, what the fuck, what the fuck? Amazing. Old mate, no mates. Cliff Kingsbury, not too often you see a coach's grave danced on as much as Cliff Kingsbury, but wow, is this dude mean shit? And everyone's kind of like, yeah, on your bike, pal. Like a failed college, a failed, what was it, a... failed community college coach, wasn't he? And then a failed college coach. Now a failed NFL coach. It's actually kind of impressive to fail upwards at that rate. So good on you. But definitely old mate, no mates, because just no one is carrying water and going, well, you know, Cliff, he never really had... No, he had all the resources that he needed.
All the opportunities. Got the good end of a couple of very nice trades with Hopkins.
Yep.
Got what he wanted when he came to the team. Like, fuck you, Josh Rosen's. I want Kyler. Got exactly what he wanted to make this team successful. Right, I've got a few. I've lined them up. The first one for me, this section is literally about old mate, no mates. And so there's a couple of headlines around the coaching searches that have stood out for me. One is the Texans going to 49ers defensive coordinator, the best defense in the league, D'Amico Ryans, legend of the game, Mufasa as his nickname was, and going, hey, can you come and interview for us? Do you want a job over here? And D'Amico going, yeah, guys, nah
I'm good.
I'm right. I'm good. I'm good. Flip side of that is Jim Harbaugh from Michigan announcing that, I've been in some conversations with the Panthers. I'm going to have an interview with the Panthers, even though last year I told Michigan that I was going to go back to the NFL and they gave me a pay rise. I'm going back to the NFL this time. And so the Panthers come out and said, well, we did agree to interview him, but that was after some very heavy, heavy recruiting from Jim's side to say, hey, can I meet with you guys? Is that all right? Can I come in for a chat?
The Jim Harbaugh stuff, I don't know what the fascination is around Jim Harbaugh and where he's going next. Because when he was a college coach. Then he goes to the Niners. He's going to go back to college. You know that. Dude just went to a fucking Super Bowl. Give it a couple of years to play out. It plays out over a couple of years. Goes to Michigan.
Yeah,
so yeah, he's getting paid more than fucking anybody. It's like, oh, maybe you'll go back to the NFL. It's like he finally got them to the college fucking football playoffs.
Yeah, and but now he's like, on charges, mate.
And this is it. He's seen the writing on the wall. He's like, yeah, it'd be pretty good to be back in the NFL, sir.
Yeah, it'd be fucking great.
Jeez, it'd be pretty good.
Yeah, one more in the coaching searches is the Broncos to fucking Sean Payton. So, I think we might have touched on this last week.
Blank check.
So, turn to, obviously, Payton's come out and said, look, I have to follow 100% process. My rights are under the Saints. First of all, you've got to ask for their permission. Then, like any trade, you've got to discuss compensation. And once that's worked out, then you can start conversations with me, and then I may potentially agree. So, obviously, it's going to cost them the first round draft pick that they don't fucking have, Jimmy. Because would you remind you that they've got Rusty, right? Secondly, so you want Sean Payton to come in and go, oh, you're going to need to rebuild this team around this quarterback that we're paying $250 million to. We've given all of our draft picks away, so you can't build them. By the way, we gave another one away to get you. And then, hey, Shauno, stick around for a bit. Like, why the fuck, with all of the positions that you would need, would the Broncos seem even slightly attractive to a season?
It's one of the least attractive landing spots. Just like 100%. maybe Rusty is sort of giving you a glimmer of hope there, but just the... The cupboard's not exactly bare. Like, they've still got a fair amount of picks up their sleeve, but it's still not as good as some other spots you can land. So,
no.
Fuck that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My other ones, is enough with coaching. Quay Walker, right? After already pushing, a coach on the sidelines, getting ejected early in the year. This week he picked a fight, a.k.a. pushed from behind. A Lions trainer on the field, who was dealing with an injured player.
Yeah.
And then he stormed out. I think the funniest part of this is actually watching him walk down the tunnel. Like, he stormed. He took his helmet off and then stormed, swinging his arms around like a kid who didn't get the Lego that he wanted for fucking Christmas.
100%. He looked like the squid when I'm like, nah, you can't just, tip your Lego out right now.
Yeah.
Because we're about to have dinner. He's like, I'm not even hungry. It's like, shut up.
The other one was when we spoke about Thibodeau reading the room last week. The Steelers D doing the CPR sack celebration.
Yeah.
That was pretty fucking gross.
Okay.
Yeah, the week after that. And then I've got an idiot. This is not someone who's quite up at old mate, no mates level. But the idiot of the fucking week is Bernie Kosar, legendary Browns fucking quarterback, who's also a Browns commentator, who had to be sacked this week because, just for reference, his number was 19 when he played. He put $19,000 on the Browns to beat the Steelers. So not only was that a shit bet, Jimmy, but by working for the Browns, you also work for the NFL.
You're working for the Browns, idiot.
That you can't fucking bet. So he was pretty much walked immediately. And it's like, it's kind of in the contract. It's kind of not even, I didn't know that.
I don't think anyone's ever really sort of accused Bernie Kosar of being the world's smartest bloke. And
no.
Here we are.
Yeah, it's fucking Jesus
but
Christ.
Also, really.
19K.
Should just read CodeBit.
Sneaky.
I would have told him not to put that much on a horrible team in that spot.
Yeah.
Unpopular opinion of the day, guys. I feel like we tipped over a bit on the three celebrations.
Oh.
Seriously, by the end of it, it's like, it was very much like, guys, we are all very thankful that he is seemingly pulling through. But when you've got fucking Russell Wilson, the other three out there on the field, going out and having a kneel and a bit of a pray by themselves just because they're also in the 3. Get the fuck out of here. It's like, okay, we fucking get it. And then that fucking statement. Oh, it makes me cringe every time I think about it. Did we win the game? No. Well, yes, no. But you won the game of life. It's like, come. Things that didn't happen for $100, please, Alex. Fucking hell.
It was a little bit.
On the nose. Bit on the nose.
Yeah, look, I think.
I think it's great. I enjoyed the massive prayer circle where all of them got in there, but it's like the Russell Wilson and I can't fucking whoever went out there for, who the Broncos play? Can't remember.
Chargers.
Goes out there and it's like, all right, we're just a pair of threes. It could have been us, man. It's like, it could have also just been literally anybody.
Anyone.
Like, I get that there's an individual aspect of like, hey, we're wearing threes. Threes stick together. It might be just that it was Russell Wilson who did this and it just shot me out of the wall. It's just,
I get it, but it's the same as it is the same as any other kind of virtue signaling element, right? That when there's starts to become almost that mob mentality, no one's going to be that one person who sits out. It's like every team made the post, and every team did the three on the field at the 30-yard line. And you weren't going to be the one guys not to do it, even though like everyone had planned it all week and you weren't going to pull it last minute going, oh guys, he's actually nearly out of hospital. We don't have to do it now. You're not going to.
But I think the vibe was like literally just I really did like the everybody from both teams at once, just getting down on the knee. Like that's cool. Fucking look. A, it looked cool. B, it's a bigger, more impactful sort of like whirling this together, but this sort of individual, like, we're going to go out there. We're both going to take a knee, just the two. It's like, fuck off. All right.
Did you notice that, was it 69,000? Gronk donated 69,000.
Love it.
Of course he fucking did.
All right. Australian Spotty, quick one. Into the playoffs. We've got Mitch Wish.
The guys at the left, mate.
We've got Dicko, Maialata. Gotsis. I love Gotsis's post-game interview as well this week, which is fucking great. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. He's like just sort of doing it himself and looking around. It's pretty good.
Not that you actually follow, you know, the NFL Australia social media, Jimmy, but did you notice that I posted about fucking Big Dixon Energy? Did a post this week just going, dropping nanas in the goals. We're like fucking Alan Dydak.
That was great.
Right? He's just dropping fucking pies references all over the place.
He posted
a clip of Alan Dydak and then him dropping that fucking coffin punt, like just right in the corner of the drop.
I loved it. That was fucking
genius.
Great.
Fucking genius.
What are you talking about? I'm not looking at that. It's fucking
joking.
Gnarly.
I'm
loved it from Dicko. I mean, I hate the pies, but I love the reference. Our back take house. It's Tuesday, Gaz. You know what that means? That's right. The squid and I just spent 2 weeks down the bush collecting a whole bunch of fucking roadkill wombat. That's right. It's a wombat roast. Only at Outback. It's already seasoned by the sun. It makes it even wormier and tastier. That's right. Give yourself a fucking inside clean out as well with this worm-laden wombat roast. Only at Outback. Today's flame grill take.
That is rough.
Today's flame grill take is very clearly NFL could not have tried any fucking harder to rig a playoff berth for Aaron Rodgers, the Seahawks playing earlier. Screwy calls left, right, and fucking center. Didn't matter, Gaz. He's now too shit. It doesn't matter. Only at Epic. I was stunned. Like, you have that like animal part of your brain, that lizard part of your brain, right? At the back, you're like, Aaron Rodgers still good. And you're watching the end of that Lions game, you're like, oh, I don't know if he's any good. it was shocking, but like not wildly shocking if you watched him all season, but
yeah, it
against
been great
this
the
Lions,
last, particularly the last 2 months.
This Lions defense is not exactly too much shopping. Like Hutchinson's just getting after him left, right, and center. But it was a bit on the nose how much the NFL sort of tried to just load the dice on his favor. Yeah. Like the Seahawks thing was a bit egregious, but. Here we are. But the calls, some of the calls were just like, oh, shit. They're just dogging the Lions. And then the Lions come out and win that. I fucking loved it.
Anyway.
So. All right. Game previews. Gaz just went absolutely fucking chaos in week 18.
Yes.
Pulled a 14 of 16 correct calls to peg back the season-long fucking advantage of me from 15 to 9 in one. Saved himself a sixer in one go.
Jesus. Unbelievable. Christ. I was like, fucking, I sat there after the, I'm not going to lie, I sat there after the Chiefs game. I sat there after the Chiefs game and went, it's pretty good. They covered that. I said that they'd take care of business. I'm on. And then there was the next one. I went, that was pretty good too. And I'm like, I'm worried about the, when the Eagles got up and I'm like, oh, fuck it. Here we go. Garbage time touchdown. Garbage time touchdown. Ah, oh, there's another one for Gas over Jimmy. Yeah, I did all right. I'm happy. I will take losing 9 picks over an entire season to someone whose job it is to pick fucking sports, Jimmy.
It was remarkable because I think if we want to just compare and contrast some of the ones, like I nailed the Tampa-Atlanta game, but...
Yeah, that's the only one that I missed out on.
KC Raiders I felt good about for a little while. No, KC ended up like pulling away, obviously. Jacksonville-Tennessee, I should have won that, but Jacksonville didn't put away Tennessee enough. I should have relied on Tennessee to cover the spread, as per usual. Buffalo-New England, that's me putting a little bit too much faith in my beloved Patriots to at least put up a fight. I do believe I ended up picking Minnesota. I put money on Minnesota in the end, so I don't know if I really should count that one against me, but I left it. Houston-Indy, that was just hilarious. Giants-Philly, as you mentioned, and Detroit-Green Bay. Yeah, you did a fucking great job. It was awesome.
And I picked that. My favorite picks of the week were the Lions one, because like, fuck them. I want the narrative of them in. And the Houston one, I'm like, Houston are going to cock this up with nothing to play for. And that was my favorite pick, probably all season.
That's great. All right.
There you go. So I only know I owe you less than half a slab, Jimmy. I'm happy with that. I'll take it.
Now, do we keep the picks obviously rolling throughout the postseason. I think it ends up being the full season, though, of the picks. So, you know, you could pull it. What is there, 16 games left in the season? You could probably...
Jesus.
Might be able to pull that off.
If I could get it back to a six-pack, I'd be a happy man.
Yeah, I don't know where you end up last year. Was it four? Four down?
I ended up...
Four or six?
No, I ended up one or two.
That's right. Yeah. Down the stretch, yeah. Because I think I ended up winning the Super Bowl. I ended up winning overall. Where would you reckon that Niners-Seahawks game lands in terms of your... spread there, guys. If you had to guess.
Fuck.
Seahawks at Niners. Seahawks shithouse. Niners very good. If you thought Niners by 10.5, you'd be right.
Nah. And really? That's what the line is.
10.5 in a fucking playoff game, and I am taking the Niners.
Yeah, me too. Fuck, I was going to say that I was expecting the line to be about 5.5, but fuck it, I'm still going to take the Niners.
Taking the 10.5. Yeah. The Seahawks defense is going to get absolutely fucking obliterated by that Niners team.
Yeah.
The half point over the 10 is a bit annoying because it does feel like the Niners do have those games where they sort of just go, we've done enough. Back her up.
Yeah.
Or we'll just rely on the defense to just get a bunch of outs and Brock Purdy's not going to go out there and throw for 64 points like he's on fucking Georgia or something. But I just don't like that Seahawks offense or defense on the road.
Like Geno throwing a garbage time fucking, you know.
Yep. Chargers Jags, as mentioned, this is the tightest line of all of them. Where do you reckon it landed? It's 1.5 Chargers. So Jags.
I was actually going to go, it's probably going to go a slight advantage to the home team.
I'm
going to take the Chargers in this.
I think I have to, just because I trust them more.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel good. Because there's too many questions around that team, especially on the road. But first playoff game in a while, obviously, for the Chargers. Yeah. Let's see how they go. Dolphins, Bills.
Oh, is the line like 36?
11.5 Bills.
Bills.
In Buffalo.
Bills got to smash that. That'll,
Yeah, I'm going 11.5 as well.
Fucking hell. How am I going to pick it? How am I going to catch up?
We've just picked three favorites. I think the only one that I'd probably, the Jags one is a bit tougher just because that line is, you know, a home underdog is just going to be super tough.
Yeah.
At this point, the Chargers just, they're a better team than Jacksonville, but Jacksonville are just screwy, right? Like you can 100% see them winning that game, but they're, it doesn't feel to me there's a scenario where I see the Dolphins win the game in Buffalo. And
no.
11.5 points is a lot.
And I just don't see... I mean, if Tua plays, maybe they can get it into a shootout and keep it close. But, you know, I might revisit... There's a couple. I might revisit this with quarterbacks for Miami and Baltimore, to be fair.
Dig it. Giants-Vikings. Where do you reckon that landed? Because this... I nearly said this out loud earlier. I'm like, I bet you this line is blank. But I didn't. And I really feel like I should have because I fucking...
Is it 2.5 to Minnesota?
It's the Minnesota line, which this year has been -3.5.
Right.
Which means I'm taking I'm taking the New York Football Giants at +3.5.
Oh fuck. I was gonna, but now I feel like I should pick something fucking different. All right, put me down as Minnesota. Giants will win that outright.
Well, you've got Minnesota -3.5, so I don't know
how
that matches up.
Ravens. I've got to try and catch you, Jimmy. Sure. I've got to fucking try and catch you.
Ravens-Bengals. Bengals are... What favorites?
11.
6.5. The fact that that's less than a touchdown means I'm taking Cincy quickly as I can say, Cincy -6.5.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Last one, Dallas-Tampa Bay. Dallas are favorites.
Dallas are favorites. It's got to be only 3.5.
2.5 for the Cowboys. I got to go Tampa Bay. I think I got to
I'm going to take Dallas in this one.
+2.5. I just feel like Tampa Bay's defense is like good enough at the moment. And Dallas aren't showing me much. So
They're just too hot and cold, right? Though Dallas are. But I'd be completely okay with both Minnesota and Dallas losing. Even though I would lose the picks, Minnesota we've called frauds all year. To be fair, I can't lose out of the Giants-Minnesota game because we've called them both frauds for most of the year. So,
Well, the good thing is you've taken every single favorite, so that's probably not going to work out. Unfortunately, I feel like having taken two underdogs, that might also not work out. I reckon the weird one will be Seahawks backdoor cover, Dolphins backdoor cover, and we both get fucked with that, and you might pull back a couple anyway. So, there you go. That is super wild card weekend. I think as of next week, with a little bit more prep, we'll actually have the usual three big things we're looking at each game from the divisional round onwards. For the rest of them, this one was just a little bit like, all right, we're going to wrap up all of week 18. We know the six games there. I mean, as already sort of hit on, like three of them are pretty big lines. And then the other three are kind of like Minnesota, New York Giants are like, sure. Best of luck picking that one, right? Tampa Bay, Dallas, again. Presumably Dallas should win that. They're a better team, but it's fucking Tampa Bay at home. Who knows? And Chargers-Jags is just perfectly wonky, isn't it? It's like perfectly wonky. It had been the most wonky one. So there you go. What a weird and wonderful regular season it was, Gaz.
Mate, feels like we should be doing the for good times and bad times. I'll be on your side. Yeah. That's what friends are for, Jimmy. That's what friends are for. We've
not
got
bad.
To the end of the season. Not for me. I'm going to take next week off because I've got a bye. And you're going to go to Mad Monday and be in Cancun or wherever the fuck you Patriots go when you don't have a playoff game to prepare for.
New Hampshire.
No, New Hampshire.
Connecticut. New Hampshire. All right, there you go. Week 18, regular season done for this NFL Australia season. Absolutely crazy. Yeah. Weird, fucky, strange, bizarre week after a late show last week. All the good news that sort of eked out about DeMar Hamlin. And a weird array of games. Fun as hell. Either way, We'll be here to wrap up the first Super Wildcard Weekend round of the playoffs for you this time next week, basically, I assume. Yeah. So there we go. Yeah. In the meantime, chuck us a follow on the old facey Twitter IGs, fang us a rating review on your podcast app, all the good stuff. Big thanks go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go check them out. Get around NBA Australia, hitting its straps at the moment, feeling good about some of these shows. Get around CodeBet, that's a good website. Odds comparisons, my weekly NFL column, lots of good stuff too. And there will be a Fox Sports Lab NFL starring your old mate Jimmy later this week. That'll be fun.
There
you go. Can't wait. Be talking some NFL with a former Eagle, Gaz. You'll find out there who it go. Is soon. What else? I'm in the paper each week, each day. Fuck, should know that. a bit easier on my lifestyle if it was each week. But either way, each day, that's pretty good. What else? That's it. Gaz, what do you got to plug?
Nothing much. We've got the week off, so there won't be much Eagles content. But I definitely think you should stay tuned to NFL Australia for what the fuck we're going to do for the Super Bowl. That's in our proper planning week. So now that we're all back from holidays and stuff, and then fingers crossed. I'm hosting an Eagles party. Who knows?
Nice. Dig it. Big Eagles party for big old Gaz there. All right. Good stuff. Let's go playoffs. Playoffs? Playoffs? Yeah. Can't fucking wait, Gaz. It's the best time of the year. It's the NFL playoffs. I mean, we might have a limited amount of games left. And as I said time and time again, the best time of the NFL season is either week 6, where you have like the vast remainder of the NFL season laid out in front of you.
And everyone's starting to hit their strokes.
And you know what's happening now. Or the NFL playoffs when it's only good teams.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this year, we've also got some shit teams. So, bit of a tough one.
Yep.
Actually. Steelers would have been way more fun to see in this playoffs rather than Miami, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Ugh. I mean, if Tua was healthy, maybe it'd be fun. This was a contender like a month and a half ago. But anyway, breaks your heart. All right, well, we'll catch you next week to wrap up an awesome Super Wildcard Weekend. And until then, we'll catch you in a bit, you dickheads.
See yas.
Later, Eisen.